Praise God. Exodus chapter 12, we're going to read two verses of scripture, verse 13, and then we're going to skip down to verse 23. Amen. So everybody that's able to stand, if you're not already, thank you again for everybody being here. Let me say we love you. Amen. Appreciate all of you today. Mean that from our hearts. Amen. Exodus 12 and 13. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Down to verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. Amen. They're going to blast the shofars, and we want you to give the Lord praise for his word. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 You may be seated. And if the Lord will bless me, allow me, honor me, anoint me, I want to minister on the thought, the power of Passover. The power of Passover. Look at your neighbor and say, there's power in Passover. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Passover is the spring feast. Amen. In the scriptures, it is the first of the feast in the year. Amen. And it begins tomorrow evening at sundown. We know that the feast always commences on sundown in the evening. Tomorrow evening, amen, the 22nd, at sundown, Passover will commence. Amen. It is the spring feast. Now we understand that Passover, amen, is inclusive of three separate feasts. The first one being Passover, and then, amen, the feast of unleavened bread, and then the feast of first fruits. And so we've already celebrated resurrection. We know that Jesus fulfilled Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. He became the Passover lamb, amen, and shed his blood. He was that sinless, spotless sacrifice, and then he resurrected on the third day to become the first fruits of our resurrection. That means that if we die in him, when the time comes, when he returns, we will be resurrected to be with him. Hallelujah. Now understand that all will be resurrected, but we will be resurrected to eternal life, amen, with Jesus. Praise God. And so Passover, amen, is Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. When we look at the word feast in the Hebrew, I think it's just important. Now let me say this. I say it often. I'll say it again. Amen. Celebrating, worshiping, honoring the feast. There's feasts of two spring feasts. We got Passover, then we got Pentecost, and then, of course, in the fall, we have Sukkot or Tabernacles. And God tells us in the Word, he said, to keep these as a statute forever. He said they were to be perpetual. That means they were to be forever. Wasn't anything that was exclusive just for the Jews or for that time. But let me reiterate that celebrating them, worshiping them, has nothing to do with our salvation. It has no bearing on our salvation. Amen. But praise God, what a blessing that we have been grafted in, hallelujah, into this glorious covenant. And because we are saved, we can, amen, enjoy the blessings of the feast, specifically now the Passover. And I want to look at the word feast just in the, amen, in the Hebrew. It is the Hebrew word kagog, amen, and it means to move in a circle, to march in a sacred procession. Now, when a procession is sacred, that means you don't get out of line. Everyone stays, amen, in line. It also means to celebrate. Amen. Kagog comes from a root word that means to revolve, and that comes from an ancient root word that means a circle. So the point is that the Hebrew word feast, God called them a feast because they were going to happen over and over and over again, just like a circle has no ending. Amen. So I want you to understand, praise God, that it isn't something that is just there because it was for that time, but it was something that God set to do over and over and over. Why do we celebrate Passover? If Jesus has already fulfilled it, why do we celebrate Passover? The same reason that because we are saved and we are spirit-filled and we are part of a covenant, we worship Him every day. Amen. We don't just worship Him on Sunday or, amen, once a month, praise God, but we worship Him every day because we want to keep our spirits right and holy before Him. Amen. And God give us these feasts to remind us, to bring us back into perspective, to keep us, amen, in alignment with the truth, but also to be a witness to those who are coming up behind us, the generations, to remind them that if God did it, amen, back for, amen, Israel in Egypt, because of the covenant and because Jesus paid the price and fulfilled the requirement with His blood, He'll do it again and again and again, and He'll do it for you. What will He do for you? He will deliver you. He will bring you out of the hand of the enemy, but also He will protect you and keep you from, oh, come on, somebody help me in this place. Hallelujah. If you believe He's faithful, just give Him, amen, a hand clap right there. Passover is about the victory of God over the power of darkness for the sake of deliverance. Can I tell you that God does everything He does for the sake of deliverance? God does everything that He does for the sake of your freedom. God does everything that He does for the sake of your joy, your peace. Oh, come on, somebody help me. And because it's been sealed by the blood of the Lamb, there's not a devil or a person that can cancel it. That means if He did it today, He'll do it tomorrow. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Passover is about the victory of God over the power of darkness for the sake of deliverance. If you're sitting here today under the sound of my voice and your life is in darkness, you do not have to sit in darkness, but you can leave this place walking in the light of Jesus, the peace of deliverance. Deliverance over the political powers of Egypt. You say, well, how does that relate to me? Over the world's influence. Amen. Come on. Deliverance. Jesus paid the price so that the world's influence does not have to have control of our lives. Deliverance over spiritual powers. Yes.
Come on.
I love the scripture that presents a picture of the conquering king when he would defeat the leader of the nation that he defeated. When he would defeat another king, they would bring that king, hallelujah, in the public square, and the conquering king would take his foot and he would place it on the neck of that dead king to represent that he has conquered and overtaken the power of that oppressor. The Bible gives us in Satan, saying once and for all, he is defeated. There's not a thing that he did. There's not a thing that he will do. There's not a thing that he can do that does not have power over the power of the name of Jesus. So deliverance over spiritual powers means every demonic influence that is in existence. See, here's the thing. Satan can't create any more demons. What he's got is what he's got. But our God, if he needs to, can create a band of angels to come down and fight on your behalf. I wish somebody would get a hold of that today. Deliverance. Passover is about a rebirth. God's people have been in slavery over 400 years. They have been held captive. They have been under the oppression of the Pharaoh. Hallelujah. And God bless, hallelujah, his word. Because now, amen, this month, on the Hebrew calendar, it's the month of Nisan. It is the month of their birthday. It is the month of the birth of a nation. The birth of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his people. And so now, because Jesus fulfilled it, amen, and his blood seals it, now we can have rebirth. We can see. Oh, come on, somebody, do you hear that? It is a time of rebirth. It is the month of redemption. It is the month of salvation. It is the month of miracles. Look at somebody and say, I believe in miracles.
I believe in miracles.
If you don't lie, but see, if you don't, I hope you do before you leave here today. Because Passover was a miracle. Come on, Passover was a miracle. Oh, come on. We're going to witness, amen, that he's still doing miracles. Passover was about an almighty showdown, if I can say it like that. It was the God of Israel versus all the other gods lifted up in competition and opposition. See, Egypt worshiped a god for everything. A god of the frogs, a god of the sun, a god of the moon, a god of the air, a god of the water, a god of this, and a god of that. Hallelujah. And all of these gods were raised up in competition and opposition against the one. Amen. Eternal God, the God of Abraham. Hallelujah. Isaac and Jacob. So it was an almighty showdown. I almost wanted to preach on that because I believe right now in this dispensation that we are living, in this season that we are in as the body of Christ, as the remnant, I believe it's almost like an almighty showdown. I don't know about you, but the stuff that's been around me, hallelujah, that does not come from God, does not belong to my freedom. Hallelujah. God's getting ready to show up. Oh, come on, somebody, and show himself mighty. You may think that your family is beyond the scope of help. You may think your marriage is beyond a man restoration. You may think your mind is in a place that will never be any different. Your mental capacity, your mental awareness, the enemy may have you convinced that you're never going to see any clarity. There may be affliction in your body. There may be disease in your body. You may have gotten a report that says this is it. But I come to tell you, I believe, amen, we're entering into a season where there's going to be an almighty showdown. There's only one God. Hallelujah. And that Each plague that happened in Egypt, we don't have time. My wife's been doing a fantastic job teaching, amen, the last several weeks about, amen, in Egypt and the bondage and the plagues and the Passover and all of those things. But each plague showed God's power over each deity of the Egyptians and their supposed domain. I said supposed. Because the God of Israel props his feet upon this earth. It is his footstool. The Bible says the earth is his footstool. And in him there is neither shadow of turning, no variableness in him. That means what he declared in the ancient, or somebody Kuramashata, what he spoke, amen, when he spoke to the waters and they had to separate from the dome of the earth. Come on, somebody, and separate, hallelujah, what he spoke then. There's been no variation. He won't change. He won't turn because there is no shadow of his turning. He will not change. And he is God. So whether it was the sun, whether it was frogs, whether it was the river, or ultimately life and death, no matter what it was, each plague showed God's power over each of those pagan deities, those pagan gods with a lowercase g, if I can say it like that. But God's only a title. He's God, but his name's Jehovah. He's God, but he's the I am. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? So, ooh, hallelujah. So he's not threatened by any other gods. Hallelujah, because he knows who he is. Even if he's not recognized as your God, it still doesn't change. He's Jehovah Nisa. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's Jehovah Sidkenu. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's Jehovah Roha. Oh, come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. Doesn't change who he is. And so Passover is all about that almighty showdown for the sake of the deliverance of God's people. Now, here's the thing, and I'm going to say this, I don't want to hang you here, but Passover also precedes the great redemption that we see in the book of Revelation, because there's going to be a final one.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm going to be part of.
Yes.
My final redemption. See, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. My name has been attached to his book of life. My name has been written, and I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been justified. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? I am seen as righteous because of the blood of the Lamb. But you see, that works while I'm here. But here is not a good place to be. Hallelujah. But this earth, this world is not my home. Hallelujah. My desire and my plan and my goal is to make it to eternity in heaven with him. And so when he comes back, hallelujah, he's going to redeem us. Our final redemption. And so Passover precedes that great redemption that John saw in the book of Revelation with similar plagues and elements. But here's the thing. God wins again. God wins. I dare to touch your neighbor. Say, God wins. God wins. I feel that for somebody today. Somebody, there's a few of you that came here today hopeless. A few of you came in here today. Hallelujah. Amen. We could call you Hoover because your lip is dragging the carpet. You're picking up everything like a sleeper, picking up everything that the enemy's dropping in front of you. But I've come this morning to tell somebody, lift up your head, because your redemption draweth nigh. I like it. Sing like it.
Yes.
All the stuff you're seeing right now, those cicadas are about to make their appearance. Up to a trillion of them. Both of those breeds are going to emerge at the same time. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I know that they come out every so often, but listen, do you think, amen, that the timing of both breeds of these cicadas, the 13 year and the 17 year, do you think that the timing of their appearance is coincidental with where we are on heaven's timeline? Because it's liable to look like a plague of locusts. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. You watch it. People are going to be saying there's a plague of locusts. They're going to be referring, hallelujah. And here it is, getting ready to be Passover. These things are going to happen. He said these signs are only going to point that I'm closer than I've ever been before. Hallelujah. So all of these elements, these things, we spoke about several things a couple of weeks ago. Hallelujah. These are all signs. I believe that it is, amen, parallel to the Passover. And so, we're going to see. But in the end, even in Revelation, God wins even over death. And we go free. Because death's going to be the last enemy defeated. Oh, grave, where's your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Hallelujah. Come on now. God has kept dealing with me all week long. He's been speaking Pesach into my spirit. Now, we know that Pesach is the Hebrew word for Passover. You've heard me say it plenty of times. But he kept speaking to my spirit, Pesach. I'm like, okay, I know what that is. And I know it's coming. And I know it's about to happen. But he kept speaking to me, Pesach. So of course, what do? You start digging. You start getting in, seeking, asking, looking, reading. God, what is it? We taught, Lord have mercy, this scholarly. 2005, I think, was our first Passover Seder, and it was impromptu from a Sunday morning to a Sunday night in the sanctuary. These young adults that are parents, amen, now, some of them grandparents, amen, they were serving because they were just little teeny boppers then. A lot of them, they were serving and doing, amen, praise God. And that was our first one. So 2005 was, amen, so that's 19 years ago. 19 years we've been celebrating and doing the Passover. So we taught a lot, and we learned a lot. And we thought, ooh, our first Seders, and you that were there, they felt like Jesus was going to come. Amen, before we got finished, amen, but God gave us wisdom, and we, amen, brought it under shame, hallelujah, praise God, amen. So we know that Pesach is translated Passover, and we get that because I read to you, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, I will pass over you. But it's a word in Hebrew that is kind of complex. It's one of those words, amen, and we know the Hebrew language can be complex. It really isn't, but to us it seems that way, amen. But it's one of those words that's interesting. It's complex, almost weird, if I can say it like that, amen, because the word Pesach can also mean, it can mean to skip or jump. It can mean to leap over. So Pesach isn't simply Passover, but it also means to skip or jump or to leap over. It also means to limp. It also means to stand still. But it precisely means lame. Now, all of the years that I've been studying, I never really went this direction and never really looked at the word in this way. Amen. But the Greek Septuagint, which is the Greek translation, how the Greek translated the whole, word of God, hallelujah, they have chosen the word protect or protection. So it would be, when I see the blood, I will protect you. Which, in all honesty, that is closer to what God was saying than what we think when we think Passover or Pesach. That's really close to the idea of what God did. See, the blood brought protection from the plague or the judgment of death. Because we know that plague, amen, the blood was going to keep them because of Pharaoh's heart being hardened. He said, I'm going to take the firstborn in all of Egypt. So the firstborn in every family, in every home, from Egyptian to Israelite, God said when the destroyer, amen, two main characters in this is God and the destroyer. And God said when the destroyer goes through, if you put the blood over the doorpost, if I see the blood over the doorpost, amen, he said, I will pass over you. In other words, I will protect you from the plague. I will protect you from this judgment that is coming. Now, we know, and I've said before, amen, literally, it is guarding. Because here's what you got to understand. Let me remind you that's heard this before. When we speak about Passover, amen, we perceive that, we kind of think that as the angel of death or the destroyer was going through Egypt, that when he looked and he saw the blood over the doorpost, that he would just pass by that house. But if the blood wasn't there, then the destroyer would go into the house, take the life of every firstborn, no matter what age they were. If they were the firstborn, they were going to be taken. And so that's the picture that we get. But that's not what God was saying. That's not what, and if you'll read the scripture carefully in context, but even more so with understanding the word Pesach in the Hebrew, hallelujah, it was literally that if the blood, God said, when I see the blood, not when the angel of death sees the blood, he said, when I see the blood, I will Pesach your house. Come on. I will Pesach your house. So he didn't pass over, but when God saw the blood on the lintel and the doorpost, hallelujah, what the Lord did or the angel of God did was he stood at that door and he guarded that from the angel of death, so the angel of death could not get into the house that had the blood over the door. It wasn't death was going to go in every chance that it got, but God said, I will guard your door. with me.
Hallelujah.
I'm trying to move through this. He said, I will protect you. I will guard your house so that the angel of death cannot pass through. The angel of the Lord. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now the root verb of Pesach in the Hebrew is used in other places in Scripture. See, we think that that's the only place, right? Because we think of passing over. But the root verb of Pesach is in other places in Scripture, old and new. Now, we know that ultimately Passover is about a blood covering and God stopping the plague with the blood, right? Ultimately, that's what Passover is about. It's because of the blood.
Amen.
See, faith made God saints too.
Okay. God was also going through.
And their faith to put the blood. Think about somebody telling you to kill a lamb. All of these instructions, and to take a hyssop branch and to dip it in the blood of that lamb and to wipe it over the lintels and the side posts of your door. And if you do, that when the angel of death passes through, it will not get your house. Now, I don't know about you, but I mean, that'd be kind of. You ask people now that hang a ribbon out on their porch of that. Come on. I've done it before. Yeah. Hey, but listen, I still got one hanging in my vehicle. Huh? But ultimately, faith, their faith to obey what God said made God stand still. It made God stop at their house. See, we can picture that angel of destruction leaping over those lintels that had the blood applied, right? We picture that death angel just passes right over, just leaps right over. But there's other places that the word Pesach is used. Leviticus 21, verse 18, when it's given the description of the priests, and it says not one of them can be lame. The word lame is Pesach. I told you that it ultimately means lame. That word there is Pesach. Remember in 2 Samuel chapter 4, when Saul had a son named Jonathan.
Yeah.
And there was a young boy named Mephibosheth,
yeah,
who was lame,
right,
in his feet.
Mm.
That word is Pesach. Now let's look at 1 Kings chapter 18. It says, Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. That word halt in this passage of Scripture is the word Pesach. How long will you limp between two opinions? How long will you? Come on. stand in the middle of two opinions. Or if I can put it in hillbilly terms, how long will you have one foot in this camp and another foot in this camp? Come on, because when we're like that, you are standing still. So the word lame, when you think lame, you think a person that cannot walk, a person that is stands, a person that cannot walk. That's the understanding of Pesach. When you see it as it translates as lame, it's the ability to not walk, that you had to stand, that they could not go. So Jesus, if I can say it like this, the angel of the Lord stood. So you can go back and say, when I see the blood, I will stand over your house. When I see the blood, I will guard your house. I will protect your house. Do you understand what a man was saying? Amen. That word Pesach gives us, amen, the picture of standing. Gives us the picture. And so now, amen, Elijah is saying, amen, no matter how you look at it, they had to make a choice. They had to decide, how long are you going to stand between two opinions? If God be God, then follow him. If Baal be God, then follow him. But you can't be with God on Sunday and be with Baal on Tuesday. Come on, somebody. Do you understand? That's what deliverance is all about. It's taking you out of that place where you have to make the decision. But if you choose to believe and put your faith in the wonder-working power of the blood of Jesus, you will not waver any longer.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Hallelujah.
See, the prophets of Baal called on Baal from morning to noon, the Bible says. And it said they got no response. And it says they leaped on the altar. Interestingly enough, that word leap is translated Pesach. So all they can literally do is stand there waiting for a response from a God that we know now is not real. And so from morning till noon, I don't know, we'll just say from, I don't know, 9 is conservative, but what is the morning watch? Let's go from 9 to noon. They cried out and petitioned Baal, and then they got up on the altar and they stood. And so then Elijah, he said, why don't you talk a little louder?
Yeah. Got what?
Elijah said, why don't you call on him a little louder? He is a God, isn't he? That's what Elijah said. He is a God. Oh, maybe he went on vacation. That's what Elijah said. You read the translation. Amen. You read the Hebrew. He said, maybe he's in the bathroom. Yeah, that's what Elijah said. Or maybe he's asleep and you need to wake him up. Can I tell you that our God never leaves his post? Our God is seated high on his throne and he's lifted up. And the word says he never sleeps, nor does he slumber. That when you call on him through the blood of Jesus, he will respond every time. That's the power of Passover. He will stand guard on your behalf.
Yes.
So, the Bible says, I love this story. Elijah said, well, maybe he took a trip. Or maybe he's daydreaming. See, our God never turns.
That's right.
And in him there is no shadow of turning. There is no variableness because he doesn't change.
Come on.
If he did it 25 years ago,
That's
he'll
right.
do it today.
Yes.
And if
yes.
he does it today, he'll do
yes.
it next week.
Yes.
And the week after. Come on, somebody. Yes. Do you hear me? You can count on it. That's the power of Passover. Forgiven or not. You are yet. And the devil knows that. And the devil knows that if you believe you are, you are. Come on, somebody. We've been studying the fruit of the Spirit. On Thursday nights, we've said this legalistic demon mindset that grips people, puts its tentacles around their brain. And their mind to try to think them, convince them that they've got to fulfill this list of do's and check off this list of don'ts in order to be considered worthy and righteous. Now he said, I would that you not sin, but if you do, see, God knew all the way back, amen, in Egypt that he would need a but. He knew that we would need a but. Come on, somebody, I don't mean your backside. But, hallelujah, that means when you can't do it, he's already done it. When you can't accomplish it, he's already accomplished it. But God, so, the Bible says they shouted louder. That demonic spirit that was in them started cutting. They started cutting with swords and knives. The Bible literally says, till the blood gushed all over them. See, it's always took the blood.
Not theirs.
Not theirs, yeah.
But not the blood of goats and animals, but the blood of the Lamb of God. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. So they cut themselves till the blood gushed all over them. And they had to stand still on that altar. And I love the scripture. I'm not sure I ever paid attention to this portion of the scripture. As many times as I've read and preached about Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, I've never really caught it until I was studying this. But it says, "And no one paid attention." Mm. Oh. That'll preach. They did all that they did, and no one paid attention. So there they stood. The picture of a broken altar and blood gushing all over them, cuts and gashes, weary. And the Bible says they went from the afternoon then until the evening, till the time of the evening sacrifice, and they gave up. Now Elijah said, see that picture? No, that's true. So Elijah rebuilt the altar, took the 12 stones, right? All the tribes. And then rebuilt the altar, got everything set up. We know the end of the story. What a love story that is, right? Love story short, he called down God fire from heaven. The fire came down, licked up the water, didn't consume. Come on, somebody. Amen. The wood licked up the water. Glory to the Lamb of God. He poured water all around it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And revival happened on Mount Carmel. That's why Jezebel got ticked off. That's why that demon spirit of control got a man all beside of their self. That spirit of Ashtaroth. Hallelujah. Baal's wife got upset because now not only has he made a fool out of our prophets, but he's converted some of our people. Come on, somebody. That's the power of Passover.
Yes.
It sunk. See, they were God's people. We're given a choice. No more straddling two sides. No more Baal sometimes and God sometimes, and then Baal again and again and again, and then God maybe twice in a row, but then back to Baal. No. How long? He said, no more straddling between two opinions. Can I tell you, God is serious about idolatry. Just because you don't have a statue that you bow and worship and pray to doesn't mean that you do not have idolatry in your life.
Come on.
For some of you, social media is an idol. Come on. Your work can become Jesus. There's a lot of people that worship the church, but they don't worship Jesus.
Woo!
The enemy just said, you better hush, you're going to get in trouble. I can tell the difference in the voice. You better hush, you're going to get in trouble. A lot of people idolize what the church is, but they don't worship Jesus.
Come on.
They don't have a relationship with Jesus. Yes. They have a relationship with the church.
Yep.
The institution, but not with the foundation, the cornerstone.
Come on, somebody.
That when the building's gone, the foundation still remains.
Come on.
So God's serious about idolatry. Don't believe me? Just read Isaiah. And so it's the same thing. When God's people, when Israel was in Egypt, they had a choice to follow God's instructions. Either they did or they didn't. They had a choice. They had a choice. If they were going to escape death, they were going to leave slavery and the idol worship of Egypt and begin to worship the God of Israel alone, the blood would ensure that God would stand guard and prevent the enemy from destroying. Look at 12:23 again in the book of Exodus. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will what? Stand at the door. The Lord will protect the door. He will guard the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. The blood will stop the plague. It will prevent the enemy from destroying. See what I don't think we really pay a lot of attention as well, but I think it's around verse 38, I'm not really sure, but somewhere around there in Exodus chapter 12, when it talks about the Israelites coming out, it says that there was a mixed multitude that went out of Egypt. That means it was not only Israelites that came out, but there was some Egyptians. They either hung out in the house of the Israelites, come on now, or they said, We've seen enough of all of these other plagues. What we got to lose other than to believe the word of this? Come on. And listen, oh, help me, Jesus. How do you think that 75, there were 75 Israelites that started out in Egypt. The Bible says that they increased and they grew. There was 600,000 men alone, not including women and children. So the estimate is in the millions in Egypt. Come on. 75 people didn't multiply that quick just through their bloodline. So they got with some Egyptians. That's what I'm trying to tell you. There was a mixed multitude. So there were some Egyptians, amen, that escaped and went with them. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. And now when you go all the way to, amen, Calvary, when Jesus, amen, said, "It is finished," what he did was not only did he shed his blood for the Israelites or the Jews, but he did it for whosoever will let him come. He broke down the middle wall between Jew and Gentile, and now we're a mixed multitude. That's the power of Passover, that you don't even have, oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You don't even have to be born in it by blood. But you can be adopted through the blood of Jesus. So they chose to believe and obey God. And they were spared that judgment. Can I tell you that judgment is upon us? If you haven't figured that out, you say, oh, my God. Judgment is upon us. And God wants to know who will hear it.
Come on.
God's asking who's going to hear what's happening. Judgment is upon us, just like it was upon Egypt. But what was the purpose in the plague? Just because God was angry? Was the purpose of the plague just because he was coming to smite? What was the whole purpose of the plague? Or was he coming to bring a harvest?
Come on.
Come on, somebody. You're going to get, I want you to understand the flip side of Passover. The power of Passover. There are going to be those who refuse to hear. Hallelujah. But I want to know who's going to listen. Who's going to hear right now. Hallelujah. Could it be, amen, that the purpose of the plague or the purpose of the judgment, if I can say it like that, is to turn the remnant who has the ears to hear? Come on, somebody. John said, "I saw a number that no man can number." Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Could it be that what is happening today is God saying, "I've got a harvest, and I'm extending mercy," and on the flip side of judgment is Pesach. On the flip side of judgment, that if the blood is applied, God is going to stand guard at your house, and all of these things coming upon the earth will not be able to destroy. Afraid of the things that are coming on this earth. Do not let the cicadas wig you out.
Come on, preach it.
Listen, if you'll remember, the Lord spoke to us, I think it was in February, might have been January. to anoint the outside perimeter of our home. Mm-hmm. Take oil. I bought me just a bottle for that. We live on almost 2 acres. So I bought me a bottle just for that. Started in the front. Cars zooming. Going down the road. Started in the front. On this side of the driveway, went around. In the name of Jesus. I put a border. I'll be anointing all the way around. Back to the other. In the other side of the driveway. Had just a wee little bit of oil left. Just dumped it right there. A spot for good measure. Come on, somebody. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. And there were several people that, amen, that came across on social media that said the Lord was dealing with them. Hey, they said, Dad, I think we should anoint the outside of the house. Amen. And several people came across social media from different places saying the Lord is bidding us to anoint the outside of our house. What am I saying? Hallelujah. I don't know what's coming. Hallelujah. I don't know what's happening. But I do know this. Hallelujah. That God will pay stock. Come on, somebody, whether it's a bug, whether it's a tornado, whether it's a lightning strike, whether it's a disease, come on, somebody, whether it's a thief, no matter what it is, I believe that he will stand guard. Oh, it might come nigh, but it will not get in. That's the power of Passover. Jesus became that Passover lamb. Now he stands guard and protects our faith.
Yes.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
He's got me
covered. Yes.
Come on, somebody. I'm trying to finish. Think about it. What was the last plague? The death of the firstborn. What saved us? The death of God's firstborn. The only begotten Son. Come on, somebody. That's the power of Passover. Hallelujah. The last plague was the death of the firstborn. But the death of God's firstborn, his blood is what saves us. And now he stands guard over everything that he accomplished. And if you'll put your faith in what he's done, he will pasuk over you, your family, your finances, your mind, your health. Come on, somebody. Do you understand me? Isaiah 35:6 says, then shall the lame man leap as a hart. Now man is italicized because that means it's not in the original manuscript. So it says, then shall the lame leap as a hart, which is like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Guess what this word lame is in the Hebrew. Hallelujah. Pesach. Then that which is standing still. Ooh, glory to God. Then that which is not able, a man to do it on their own. This is prophesying that when the Messiah comes, this is Isaiah prophesying of the Messiah, that when he comes, then shall the lame leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Amen. So what's he saying? Those who stood still and couldn't move would now begin to leap when this Messiah comes. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When I don't feel it, when I don't see it, when I don't hear it, it's still my Pesach. It's still the power of Passover. Remember Acts 14, when the man at the gate, beautiful, he was crippled. Mm-hmm. You know what the Greek Septuagint translates that word cripple? Pesach. But when Peter and John came, they said, "Sir, Pesach, silver and gold have we none. But this all I got. But what I got will give you more than silver and gold. Silver and gold have I none. But what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And what did he do? He pays up. He leaped. Come on, somebody, and said he began to leap and jump into the temple. That is the power of Passover. That is why we remember what Jesus did on Calvary. That fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy that the lame will leap like a deer. It's fulfilled because the blood brought healing and restoration. God will pay suck his people. Now see, you don't want him to be passing over. Come on now. I want him to protect me.
Yes.
He will protect his people. I'm about to finish. Well, how many times did I say that?
Three.
I said that already.
Yeah.
No? No?
Yes.
It's only two or three times, so get over it. I get made fun of because I stick my tongue out. Hey, lady, call me. So why don't you stick your tongue out? I don't know. Validates me, I suppose. I don't know. But I want you to know something. But the power of Passover did not just stop in Egypt. It did not just stop at Calvary. And some of you may or may not know that on April the 6th, Iran, you know that Israel and Iran are in war. And on April the 6th, which was Shabbat, Iran attacked internally in Israel. They sent missiles into Israel. They launched them in, but it was not successful. I want you, yes, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah. But I'm going to read you something. An Israeli scientist who works for the security system and is a doctor of physics wrote the following words to a rabbi. "I wanted to share with the rabbi something that is much more than a feeling. On Shabbat night, something happened here on the scale of splitting the Red Sea." He's talking about the attack from Iran on the 6th of April. "I am a doctor of physics, and I worked for several years in the defense industry in Israel in projects that are still the cutting edge of the state of Israel. When I look at what happened on Saturday night on a scientific level, it simply cannot happen. Everyone, and I mean everyone, acted as one man in overall unity." He continued, "The likelihood that everything works out just as it should does not exist in complex systems like the defense systems that were operating. They have never, I mean never, even beyond the state of Israel, been tried in real time. I took a pencil and dove into the calculations to check the likelihood that such a result would materialize. The large number of events that had to be handled at precisely the right time doubles the chance of making a mistake. With all the high technologies, the expectation was for a breach in the defense of the skies of the state of Israel. Even if we got 90% protection, it would be a miracle. What happened, though, is that everyone, I mean everyone, the pilots, the system operators, and the technology operators acted as one man at one moment in total unity. If this was not an act of God, then I no longer know what a miracle is. And the doctor marvels and adds, this is sharper than the victory of the Six-Day War or the War of Independence. There it can be explained according to nature. The rescue that took place for the people of Israel on Shabbat night is simply impossible naturally. I believe this miracle saved the lives of many people from Israel. If the defense system had failed to intercept a number of cruise missiles, the result would have dragged us into a very complex campaign. I wouldn't bet that next time it will work like this without divine supervision. The simple proof of what I said is that the managers of the security industries who develop and manufacture those systems guarantee not more than 90% success. Do you know what happened over Israel? Pesach. The God of Israel stood. Come on, somebody, at guard. And he prevented those missiles. Come on, somebody. You can have your opinion. You can say what you want. And there are bad people. There are bad Jews. Amen. And I believe there are some good hearted Iranians. But at the end of the day, judgment, amen, is upon the earth. But God said, I will keep my covenant with my people. That is the power of Passover. That is Pesach. And what happens in the natural for Israel happens in the spiritual for God's covenant people. So if he did it for Israel, amen, amen, 2 weeks ago, he's doing it for you. To come to the music. I want to leave you with this. Right now, we are experiencing some tribulations. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm not saying that we're in the 7 year. I'm saying, listen, I'm 59. I've experienced tribulation all my life. Tribulation. In the Hebrew, it's simply sorrow. It's a narrow place. It's being pressed. It's a tight place. Anybody feel squeezed? Anybody feel like the walls are closing in? And the place you're in is a tight place. That's tribulation. But I've come this morning as we get ready to move in to Pesach. I've come to declare that we're going to release the power of Passover in this house. What is that about? It's about restoration, rebirth. As we release the power of Passover, I believe that God's conviction is going to begin to move upon your remnant. You're going to see visitations and dreams. Begin to have encounters with strangers. A divine interruption in the enemy's plot. Even a reversal of time if necessary. The power of Passover. Releasing it. So as Passover begins tomorrow evening at sundown, now remember, sundown is in Israel is noon our time. So when you say sundown, no matter whether it's summer or fall, it's always 6 o'clock, just the watches and things in the Bible. So 6 o'clock, as the evening begins to wane down, Passover, Pesach, begins. And the power of Pesach is not that God passed over our house, but if the blood is mine, Jesus will protect everything you put your faith on. Your family, your marriage, your finances, your health, your mental health. Come on. He'll protect everything that you could release your faith for. When I see the blood, I will stand. And I will refuse to let the destroyer inside your house. You might feel the effects, you might hear the screams, you might sense the danger, but he will not be able to destroy. I'm not saying we won't be affected by the enemy, but he will not be able to fulfill his mission, and that's ultimately to kill, steal, and destroy. Yep. Come on, somebody. That's the power of Passover. Same with the Holocaust's house. Posted this a couple weeks ago, but I didn't. But I have felt the burden for the past, gosh, I don't know, leading up to a couple weeks ago, probably 2 weeks prior to that. So now, you know, the last 4 weeks or 5 weeks, but I have felt the burden of the prodigal. And I've been in my secret place. I felt the weight of the prodigal. Now, prodigal isn't just someone who walks away, but it's someone who's separated from the blessing of the Father's house. Prodigal isn't necessarily just someone who has backslidden or gotten lukewarm, but there are some of you that are separated from the covenant blessings of the Father, and you're wandering, and you feel lost. I've come today to release the power of Passover. There are some of you in here that are lukewarm. There are some of you in here, I believe under the sound of my voice, that are backslidden, that you have walked away. You've chosen to lay aside the grace. God's asking you today, how long you're going to stand between two opinions? How long you're going to have your one foot here and the other foot there? How long are you going to allow bitterness and unforgiveness and anger and confusion? How long are you going to allow that into your house, that destroyer? But the power of Passover is releasing in this house. That means God's going to stop, going to interrupt the plans of the destroyer. Hallelujah. Conviction's going to begin to fall, going to begin to come. And all the remnant that will hear and the judgment that's here, hallelujah, on the other side of that, God's going to safely keep us. and protect us the power of Pesach. As they begin to worship, if you're in this place and you are, first you're lost, maybe you've never given your life to Jesus, maybe you're in here and you've never been saved, right now's your opportunity. You're blessed to have this opportunity. Because here's the thing. The Bible tells us that life is like a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. We have no assurance of tomorrow. I don't say that to make you scared. I say that to make you aware of how vital your salvation is today. And not waiting till tomorrow. So if you're here and you're lost, you don't know Jesus, I'm going to give you the invitation right now to come. If you're here today, and you are a prodigal in the sense that you are lukewarm, and that you say, you know what, Pastor? I know I'm not right. I know I'm not right. But I'm going to get it right with what's coming. I need that protection. If you're in this place, and you have felt the effects, and you say, I'm ready to release the power of Pesach, the power of Passover. I want you to come. Come on, quickly. Quickly make your way. Make